Hello, girls and theys, and welcome back to Astro Hotline. I am your host, Tess, and today we're going to be talking about the eclipses. I know you're all excited about this. I can feel it. So the eclipses are happening today, and a lot of people are just kind of confused on what those mean. For me, I was very confused on what the eclipse meant for a while because there's so many conflicting viewpoints about what the eclipse is. Some say it's good, some say it's bad, some say it's a really good time to, you know, kind of start shit. Other people are like, no, this isn't a time where you want to do anything. This is a time where you want to lay back and like relax. And there's so many things, so many sources telling you different pieces of information. And so when you're in my position trying to learn eclipses, you can't really rely on these sort of internet sources. You're gonna have to rely on pieces of information from experienced astrologers or books, people talking about the eclipses in a very scholarly and professional, experienced way. And so for me, I don't know, what it was like a year ago when I kind of actually understood the meaning of the eclipse. And it's not difficult. I think what's difficult about it is sort of understanding the importance of the solar from the lunar, and also kind of how they occur, which is the biggest piece of information. So I hate when people call the eclipses like supercharged newer full moons, because they're not. That's very misleading. Why they are is because they're not really supercharged. They're disruptions. They are disruptions in the lunar cycle. I call them rare, but they kind of occur in a system. So like they're expected, but it's just that it doesn't happen very often, right? So to say they're supercharged full or new moons, you know, basically insinuates that this period is just like any other period, just hyped up. And when you say that, people are going to do magic under this period. They're going to basically do what they've been doing for full new moons and like think there's more energy to get out of it. And that's not the case. The energy of the eclipse is very malefic. It's very erratic. There's sort of an agreement now that the eclipses are wild cards rather than just being purely like a negative omen. So I think that's true. I think they're not going to be completely awful. But I do know for a fact that solar eclipses tend to be more negative yielding than the lunar eclipse. And I'll get to that in a minute because I have a story about that. And it's going to reiterate some of the advice that I gave to you guys in the article I posted about eclipses, which is on my website at astrogirls.com. So, subtle promo. So eclipses, how they occur? Well, the important part about the eclipse is that the nodes, you know, you have your south and your north node. People are like, well, what are nodes? So to astrology students, the nodes aren't real. You can't go into space and see like, oh my God, that's the north node over there. They're not physical bodies, right? They're not like a planet. The nodes are mathematical points that are very important to determine when eclipses are about to happen. So they're very, very important during this topic. So the nodes describe when the path of the moon and the sun intersect, and it occurs on axis. So it's a 180 degree angle, always an opposite. So you have the ascending north node and you have the descending south node. And the ecliptic, now the moon is usually about at a 5 degree ish angle from the ecliptic. So that's why we don't have eclipses all the time. When the moon crosses the ecliptic and gets close to the north or the south node, that's when you know you have an eclipse coming. So when the moon is about 19 degrees ish from the ascending or descending node, we're in eclipse season. When it's under about 11 degrees, that's how you know an eclipse is happening. We're in this bitch. Can't turn back now. We're in her. And for this particular eclipse that's happening today, it's going to occur in Capricorn. And Capricorn is now our south node. So it's a south node eclipse. So recently we transitioned from Leo and Aquarius to Cancer and Capricorn. And that's why we're having the conclusion of our Leo and Aquarius eclipse season, and we're entering into the new Cancer and Capricorn. So it's a big deal. Like, this is some big deal shit. We're having three eclipses this year, so I'm guessing Capricorn, Aquarius, not Aquarius, Leo to conclude that series, and then we're also having Cancer, most likely. Have to double check on that, but usually how it rolls out. So let's talk about the astrological meaning of these bitches. So I would say that this solar eclipse isn't going to be as erratic because it is sort of the, you know, it's opening the curtains, so you would say, to this new time period. When eclipse occurs, think of it as like a bookend. It opens like a new portal, a new window of time, and that time will extend from this year until next year, most likely. And so the lunar eclipse that we have going on towards the end of the month is a conclusion of the time that we've had the last 2 years. So whatever events happened last year, particularly in January and in the summer, you want to look to see if there's sort of like a repetition of that, and there's going to be a closure around those events. Important, I know. With this Capricorn and Cancer, it's really going to open up a new space of time, a new window. And so you may not see, like, if the eclipse is happening in a Caden house, you're not going to really notice really big changes. However, if it is angular, if it is near your ascendant, you may notice some pretty visible and consciously felt changes. However, I would say it won't be as drastic. I feel like by the second eclipse, there may be some shit going on, but the solar eclipse will definitely introduce some time. Now, it is a south node solar eclipse, so that means something. The south node is, and this is why I hate like these sources, because they tell you the south node is what you're good at. It's the things you come into the world knowing how to do. However, what they don't tell you is that those things you know how to do are bad for you. Those are habits you need to break and move onward from. So the south node is sort of kind of described as being separative and destructive. So with this solar eclipse, now the solar eclipse is when the moon moves in front of the sun and blocks the sun's light. Now imagine us beings who kind of revolve around the sun, who need the sun, who need the sun's light. It's something that we're very used to. When you think of like astrology, the meanings of planets, the sun and the moon is what we grow into, not what we grow into. It's what we come into the world sort of, that's all we know. We have our ego, we have our emotions and our needs. It's something that's very present when we grow up. When we're kids, you know, it's like we're developing our sun, we're developing our moon, and it stays with us all the time. It's not something we move away from. It's something that's very much us. So imagine something that you're very used to is blocked. What type of reaction does that create? To me, it creates sort of like a panic. Like, what the fuck? Now, the Great American Eclipse, I think it was last year, it was the first time where I noticed like a dimness in the day, because it was kind of strong in my area. It wasn't super strong, but it definitely was very weird going out. You knew the eclipse was happening because the light was off. And it created like a weird anxious feeling. And that's kind of why solar eclipses tend to kind of yield disorder. They've been associated with environmental damage, changes in rulership and governance, and it's in Capricorn. So you can imagine that this eclipse in particular is going to affect the way that our structures are in place, the way that, you know, hierarchies are kind of operating. Leadership kind of ties into that sort of theme. Amazing. Truly. So the solar eclipses, and because this is happening near the south node, is going to be a time where we need to kind of declutter our shit. Think of it like the nose is sort of being like a ventilation system. You have sort of the fresh air is, essentially the fresh air is kind of being ventilated into a particular area, and the toxins and pollutants are taken somewhere else. The toxins and the pollutants are our south node. The fresh air is our north node. And so the goal of this time is to separate from those toxins. Completely separate. Move on from. It's not going to happen right away, especially with Saturn and Pluto's involvement. This is going to be a theme where time really plays a major role. And also, it's a window of time. It's like from a year to 2 years. So it's not going to happen right away, but it's a time to kind of put yourself first, really, because you have to. In Capricorn, we have to take responsibility. We have to take accountability of our bullshit. And really take the steps to growth by sort of, you know, shedding these bad behaviors and habits that we know how to do so well but aren't good for us. And that takes a lot of analysis and a lot of responsibility. It takes courage. I think it takes a really great amount of courage to say, I know how to do this. I do it really well, but it doesn't serve me anymore. I don't have to do it. I don't need it anymore. So I'm going to move away from it. I'm going to continue my journey onward. And that's exactly how this South Node solar eclipse is operating. However, the nodes are really funky things. Like when we have these really major occurrences, whenever there's like a planetary conjunction or move angle formed with the nodes, especially if it's angular in your chart, creates a lot of weird shit. It kind of teleports these weird occurrences into your life. And the eclipses in general kind of fuck up the timeline, the sequence of events. You know how everyone's like, oh God, like the timeline is whack. You know, we're far away from the timeline whenever like weird shit happens. And like part of that is because of the eclipses. Like when you really think of like the meme personification of that, it's the eclipse. Because really what the eclipse does is that it really disrupts our reality. And because it's making a movement towards planets concerned with reality and time in the sign associated with those themes, it's going to feel really apparent. Like the sequence of events is going to be fucked up. And I always like to describe the eclipses as kind of being kind of funky. So you'll notice like weird shit happening to your body, to your health, you know, out of nowhere. It's like a sudden like trigger. Like just teleporting these weird events that you really can't explain using logic or analysis. They just kind of happen. So for example, this is a really good example. I have two stories. I have two eclipse stories. I hope you guys are like strapped in because it's going to be really fucking interesting. So the first story, I think it was during, part of it was during the Mars retrograde. And also we had an eclipse during that time. And I think it was happening in my first house. So I have like a late degree Capricorn rising. And so when I do horoscopes, when I read my horoscope, I have to read Capricorn and Aquarius because the house system's a little bit wonky. So I have a 25 degree or 26 degree Capricorn rising. And so technically Aquarius occupies a big chunk of my first house, which all my planets are in, by the way. So you can tell I live a very great and functional life. That's sarcasm, by the way. So, the eclipse and Mars retrograde was hitting on my first house. And I think it was particularly aspecting Jupiter and Uranus. And I had this very weird, unexplainable rash all over my body. Like, I'm talking, it spread over time. Like, I saw maybe a few bumps on my arm, and then I woke up, and there was more bumps on my arm, and I was, like, my neck was covered, and, like, these weird bumps, and then my chest and my breast area. So I was really kind of nervous. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I hardly go out. That's another thing. I hardly go out to the point where, you know, I would pick up an allergic reaction to something. And then I thought maybe, like, I had bed bugs or some type of infestation. Like this is just weird. And so it got worse. Like it just kind of spread all over my body to the point where I got really anxious about it. It was on my legs too. And I was just like, do I have an infection? Do I have, at first I thought it was psoriasis. I thought I had like a, what is it called? An immune system disorder disease. And I was like, what the fuck? Like I've known to have really great, you know, immune deficiency, like everything was great up until this point where I had this weird ass rash and I had to go to the emergency room because I mean, it wasn't going away. And the lady really didn't know what it was. She assumed it was a viral rash. I was going to get sick. So she gave me a prescription. She told me to take some, you know, Benadryl, and like it went away in like 2 days. But like I never got any of the symptoms of like a virus. I don't know where I got it from. And to me, that's like a perfect little snapshot of what weird shit could go down during the eclipse. Really weird. I feel like because Mars is so physical, and because it was happening in my first house, where it represents the body, represents really conscious, noticeable energy, paired with the eclipse, it just, it blew out of proportion, truly. So that's my first eclipse story. My second eclipse story is really one for the books. This story just makes me so mad. Like, it just makes me so fucking mad. So let me go into the details, because this one is way more interesting than the first one. So this one happened during the solar eclipse during the summer. And I think it was in Cancer. I really wasn't sure, but it was sort of was, I think it was in Cancer. So I had, I don't know, it was like, I was doing courses during summer B. And so we're talking maybe like around June, July. I want to say maybe around, I don't really know. It was around that time period between June, July, maybe August. I'm not really sure. But I was on Tinder, you know, just doing my usual. I don't go on Tinder very often. It was like one of those times where I was just like, I'm going to go on Tinder. And I met this guy. Really nice guy at first. Really emphasizing at first. So I talked to him, and I really don't talk to men that often. I really am not, at this point right now, I'm not really interested in men, but at the time I was kind of like, eh, I don't give a fuck. Messaged him, and he seemed really nice. Like, he was really sort of one of those guys who was really kind of savvy with memes. He was really interesting to talk to. He kept up a good conversation. He was really into like what I had to say about astrology, which kind of made me feel really nice. He was a Scorpio, Libra moon, you know, the usual Gemini rising, you know, just the typical. And I think in the span of like 2 days, not even, I wouldn't even say 2 days. I would say maybe in the span of like 1 day, we meet. Like, we talked all day and then we meet. It's like one of those like millennial shit. And we go to Starbucks because he was thirsty. So we went there, and his car was really like, it was small. It was a blue car. It was ugly. I want to emphasize that it was ugly. We went to a record store, looked around, and then I was really awkward. This was like my first date. And like, I'm being very honest with that statement. It was my first date. I'm 21 years old. It was really, really awkward. And he was like one of those people where I told him, like, I've never been on dates before, never had my first kiss. He was like, oh my God, really? Like, he treated me like I was a fucking alien. And so after that, we went to my place. We didn't do anything. We had some drinks. Well, he had a drink because I had like leftover alcohol from the 4th of July. So this was like around July, towards the end of July. And so we were watching an anime. I think it was, Yuri on Ice, because I told him like, oh, this anime is so good, it's gay, like, it's great. And he was okay with that, like, it's like, okay. So, and my roommate came over, and we were talking, and we were kind of, you know, just chatting shit up. And he went to the bathroom at my, in my bathroom, and then came back, and we were watching, and he was kind of like leaning towards me, like he like wanted to cuddle. Awkward, I know. And then, like, shortly after, like, we had, like, a convo, all three of us, me, him, my roommate, and then we leave. We go to his place. And this is where it gets interesting. We go to his place, and really, it's, like, a dark room. There's really neat posters, I will say that, but it's, like, simple, basic black furniture. The only thing he had to eat in his kitchen was fucking bread. We watch an anime. Really weird-ass anime, too. And he, like, you know, he, like, hits the blunt or something. He gets a little high or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he, like, grabs onto me and he starts cuddling me. And I'm like, okay. Like, this is interesting. This is a first in my life. Like, hello. It was very weird. I feel like in those situations, like, those type of leveling up activities really needs to be with someone you know. Because it was just really strange the way that it was happening. And then, you know, he happens to be my first kiss, and it was a really strange feeling. However, the kiss turns into really, like, intense, you know, dry humping and shit like that, and it was really awkward. I will say, like, looking back on it, I was in a very awkward position. I didn't really feel comfortable to do any of those things, and now I know, and I feel really shitty about them. So, part of the reason why this story just makes me mad is because the type of person that I was dealing with really just wanted me for my virginity, which I'm still a virgin, by the way, because I never lose. So, he didn't get what he wanted, and then he moved on to someone else. However, my naive ass, who's never done this before, really thought, like, he was into me. Really thought, like, thought I was interesting. And I got really kind of annoyed that he wasn't, like, answering my text messages, just because I was like, well, we've been talking, like, the past 2 days, and all of a sudden you're not talking to me anymore. Like, I didn't want to think that he was using me, but he was. And so he ended up, like, dating someone else. He ended up being with another girl, like, the day after. And so apparently what he didn't get from me, he got from her. So it's whatever. It turned into a really bad argument through the DMs, because I was just really kind of blowing up on his ass. And he got an attitude with me. He really came for my neck, and then I came for his neck. And it kind of went back and forth. And it turned into a really bad situation. And he found, like, my side Twitter account from, like, some person who, like, had a vendetta against me. Literally crossed the boundary of, like, Twitter life to my personal life. And, like, I was just really annoyed. He threatened to call the police because I was, like, talking shit about him on my personal private account. He really thought that he was, you know, someone special. He thought, your words could damage my reputation. I'm like, well, then don't use women and femmes for your own sexual pleasure. Maybe I won't fucking come at your neck, you know? So that was the first and last time I ever fuck with a guy. And that happened right around eclipse season, right up to eclipse season. And it turned very obsessive. It turned into a really bad fiasco. And so I advise people who are meeting someone new, who are entering a relationship, to be very careful. Because this is actually a typical eclipse thing, where you meet someone new, you fall into, like, whatever it is, sexual activity, romance activity, whatever it is, and you get attached, obsessively attached. So if you're hoeing around this time, I would advise to, like, wait until afterwards, just because it may not be good. It may not be a good time. So think that's, like, the worst thing that ever happened to me at the time, because he called me a bunch of things and I called him a bunch of things. But I feel like, because I'm like slowly unlearning to move my personality away from validation of men and dominant systems, and I was in the process of doing that, I feel like those words that he said to me kind of struck me very hard. It was also, like, my first time kind of dealing with men in that way. So now I know, like, fuck men, who gives a fuck. So that's something to be very mindful of, very cautious. Also, no magic. We've heard from various people on Twitter to do no magic during this time. Why? Because the energies of the eclipse are not fertile, they're not beneficial, they're very erratic, they can go either way, and they are malefic. Especially the solar eclipse, because that's mostly, it's been more socially tied to disturbance in rulership and environmental related matters, because the environment's not getting the light, and so weird shit happened in terms of the environment, and so it's just really not a good time to do anything magic related. The only thing I would advise you to do during this time is to relax, because the eclipse can take a really big toll on your body. It can really make you tired. A lot of oddballs can make you very exhausted. So I would say take a nap if you need to. Don't really overextend yourself. This is, like, the first eclipse of the series, so you don't have to do anything big. But maybe, like, setting roadblocks for yourself, I think, is a really good time, and to stay present as well. This is a time where things could go wrong and you just don't know where you're at. So remind yourself of where you're at in the universe. Remind yourself. That's all I have for the solar eclipse in Capricorn. let me see what aspects are we getting from this beautiful solar eclipse. So, okay. Well, we don't have anything major. I will say that Uranus goes direct the day after. That's kind of important. I feel like Uranus is sort of that, you know, that planetary body that gets overlooked. But Uranus going direct kind of makes really big triggers. So you can expect some more shit to go down on the 6th of January as well. So Uranus is currently in Aries. And this is going to be the last time that it is in Aries until it moves into Taurus sometime either this month or next month. So that's something to really pay attention to. If especially if it's angular in your chart, I feel like it could amount to really great breakthroughs, depending on where it is specifically in your chart. If you are planning on setting intentions or goals or whatever it may be, I would wait just till your mind's in a better space, because you're going to feel very anxious during this time. You're going to feel really run down. So I would wait until the 7th when we have the crescent. It's also going to be in Aquarius, and so it's really kind of just setting up that time for you to kind of think of what you want to see happen or what you want for yourself by the next eclipse on the 22nd. Just a little thought. Let's see what else. So I don't know. I think that's really it. We really don't have a lot going on, so to say, in terms of, you know, the eclipse is sort of like dominating the sky map from the 5th to the 6th. So that's something all you need to know, really, is just that. So let me just kind of talk about Saturn for a minute, because I feel like Saturn is very, very, very important during this time, because Saturn's going to be involved. I don't have my phone on me, so I can't really check the exact degree Saturn is in, but I'll just kind of look up astrology transits. Okay, so my lungs are giving out. So Saturn is in 11 degree Capricorn. And so this solar eclipse is happening in the 15 degree of Capricorn. And the nodes are in a 27 degree. So it's a very loose conjunction. That's why it's called a partial solar eclipse. It's not really exact. But because Saturn's involved in this movement, it's going to really be a big time of embodiment. And let me just kind of take a quote from Planets in Therapy by Greg Bogart, because he really kind of makes a very interesting remark related to Saturn. I want you to hear this and maybe even write it down, because once I read this, I was like, wait a minute, this is really what Saturn is all about. So he says, let's return to Saturn for a moment. Saturn corresponds to the alchemical cogolito. I really don't know how you say that word. It looks Spanish, but I'm not entirely sure. Okay, so that term, what I just said, he says that term relates to the solidification of liquids and vapors into material form. It represents coming into form in a specific place and time, becoming fully embodied and grounded through work, self-discipline, and determination. So when I read that, I was like, wait a minute, that just really kind of hit a chord, because really, Saturn is about reality. It's about the purest and most material form of reality. It's the container of time. It's like where we are right now. There's no other timeline but right now. And I feel that the Saturn, all of our charts, teaches us that exact rule. That we can't just float through reality. We have to kind of make something out of it. We have to make something out of ourselves, out of our, you know, our talents, out of our careers. It's about being fully present in the moment. Being holistically here, clearly defined here. And with the eclipse happening, known to kind of fuck up that sort of groundwork, is really going to feel intense. And you have to tell yourself, like, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I just have to, like, be embodied and stay present. And there's going to be occurrences in the in your reality where that's going to be very hard to do. It's going to be oddballs. But you just have to stay here. And that's really all I have for this episode. So thank you for listening. And I hope you all have a great eclipse season. I'll see you guys soon.